Scriptures, we can determine how to begin our counts. And by scriptures, we can stamp that day as God's rest day. Now, the Bible said, take heed, lest any of you having an unbelieving heart fail to enter into his rest. What do you mean by that? It means that there is a cycle of work. Now, we're talking about those who worship God in spirit and in truth, because the Bible says that God seeketh such to worship him in spirit and truth. This is in John chapter 4, verse 24, as the Messiah was relating the truth to the woman who asked for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, some people keep their birthdays. Some people keep Sunday, first day of the week. Some keep Saturday and call it the seventh day of the week. But is the calendar present day, is it in line with scriptural instruction and biblical teachings? We'll examine that tonight as we go into part three of the true Sabbath. If you look at Sabbath, it means to rest. When a person is born on a certain day, that day thus becomes his birthday. And we celebrate those. Some do, not all. But it is a day that is written on your birth certificate, proof of being born to such and such parents. And it becomes a day that is noted in particularly the family. And most definitely the person, because it's very important to know when and what day you were born on. Well, isn't it true that if the Almighty has purposed a day of rest and included it into the Holy Commandments? Now remember, there are 10 that we deem necessary to keep. There's a lot of biblical instructions that follows that, and some think that there's over 614 commandments that are illustrated in the Bible for us to at least pay heed to or to observe. Well, let's narrow this thing down to the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, I'd like to structure these for you. Again, the basic commandments being 10, which perhaps would coincide with the number 1 if you reduce 10 and the 0 down to 1, it produces oneness. And in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Now we know that in the mark of the Gospel, Mark, chapter 12, that it states, again, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. So to become one with him in unity of his commandments, the first four are the commandments to observe the deity, to observe what he says. As subjects of that deity, we're all created and purposed in our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, placed here upon the earth for a purpose. The time and the place is all predetermined. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Yahweh declared unto Jeremiah, Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Now, you were sent here for specific purposes. Now, what is that purpose? Well, it's stated in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Let us fear God and keep His commandments. But we have a variety of interpretations and man's opinion that enter in to bring confusion. Now, the Bible says where there's ever evil work, there's confusion, and that the love of money is usually the root of all confusion. The bigger the church, the more financial burdens of building, paying off notes and things of this nature. We have these large churches that call themselves assemblies of truth. And yet, truth is, in most cases, not all, but in most cases, the truth is locked outside. Why? Why was it like that in the days of the Messiah, Christ, when He came? Was He not a prophet crying in the streets? Was not Jerusalem and her glorious, splendid temple that took Herod 40 years to restore? Was it not a place where Christ condemned it and said, "You have made this place a den of thieves because of the money changers"? Ladies and gentlemen, money answers all things, especially evil. For the love of money is the root, again, of all evil. So then, the Creator, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, started a system of count. Now, it is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that God worked 6 days. And on the seventh day, He rested. And on the eighth day, He made Adam. Well, isn't that strange? That the Sabbath is not geared to 7 days, but it is incorporated into a time span of 8 days. Now, could we possibly prove that Adam, the one that came here upon the earth, now the spirit man, the Bible says that he was created on the sixth day. That was long before he ever came down in a flesh and blood body. Now, the Bible says that it's impossible for flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom. So then, this is a temporary vessel, if you will. It is a possession that we have for a short time to hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandment. The fourth commandment being our subject tonight. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So then, for those of you that study the Bible, that press toward the mark and the high calling, that seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that find it in your heart to pursue the truth as the heart doth the watering brook. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the hounds of hell are chasing you. The Bible says that many are the temptations of the righteous, but Almighty Yahweh will deliver them out of them all. So then, in your pursuit of truth, you must seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You cannot become trapped, entombed in these temples of doom. Temples of wealth, showcases where we like to style and profile, where we like to be members of the largest assembly in our towns, where we have many people to congregate, doctors, lawyers, merchants, and thieves. Ladies and gentlemen, the thieves are right in the pulpit as they steal the Word of God away, the truth of the Word of God, away from the hearts of the recipients, choosing to have a form and a fashion. And the Bible said, from such, turn away. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Well, he sanctified it in Exodus 20 and verse 11. He made the Sabbath in the garden in Genesis 2, 1 and 3. Now, if we look at the scriptures, man was not made for the Sabbath. Isn't that strange? Sabbath was made for man. Why? Because there is a cycle in our lives, and we are cycling through body electric, if you will, magnetic currents flowing. We're attracted to our Creator through different phases. And this is going to sound strange to you, but the moon is one of the most influential bodies in the heavens that is related to man upon the earth. We're to plant in its opening and closing seasons accordingly. We are to observe the times to plant and a time to sow, the Bible said. This moon is a illustrator or a signaling device for that very purpose. Now, I know that that's really old country time teaching, because now in modern times, nobody cares. We have the modern satellites to give us what day it is, to give us the conditions of the weather. We can see the storms forming on the West Coast, let's say, and then we'll know approximately, pretty accurately, when they will flow up on the East Coast, and likewise. So we have mastered the elements with science. But have we really mastered the true Sabbath day? Have we purposed it in our minds to seek the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help us. The Bible said to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many will strive, but will not be able to enter in. Notice, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, and Exodus chapter 31, verse 17, that it was a memorial of his creation, a set day, a day to pause, a day to rest. Now, if we go back to the code calendar, I call it, the hidden calendar. Ladies and gentlemen, this was hidden from me for over 20 years of my searches and studies, and I was sincere. I kept Saturday as the true Sabbath because I believed that a group of people known as God's chosen people had determined the very day, tracing it back through their historical documentation, I was led to believe, that they could trace it right back to the actual seventh day of the beginning of time. And that this seven-day cycle has continued without interruption down through approximately 6,000 years. Now, it takes more faith to believe that, if you really think about it, you're having to trust someone that says that Saturday, the way that we've got our calendar system set up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that Saturday is the seventh day. So then if you would rotate back in a continuous rotation back to the first original seventh day, you would perhaps turn back millions of those revolutions to get back to the actual seventh day. Now, does history support the fact that time has been kept accurately and has not been interrupted? No, it does not. Does the Jewish calendar itself, or for that matter, the Gregorian calendar, we call it, that was made by Pope Gregory in the 13th century, modified somewhat since then, periodically, along with the Jewish calendar, modified. Modified meaning days added or days subtracted. Now, if we are to believe that the seventh day, you see, Sunday would be no exception, because if the first day of the week, which that would be the first day of the week, that would be the first day that God worked. So if we continue the cycle from the seventh day that God rested, and remember I told you that they would be millions, perhaps, of revolutions of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 backwards until we come to the seventh actual day, and then we would turn it back 6 working days to come to the first working day, and that man has the ability to do so, and the Bible would substantiate that claim. Well, number one, man does not have the ability with a continuous history. Number two, the Bible does not substantiate that to start with. So it's an unbiblical principle to believe that Saturday is the Sabbath by someone designing a calendar many, many hundreds or perhaps thousands of years after the fact and have changed it no farther back in history than 1000 A.D., perhaps 1,000 years ago, the Jewish calendar was modified. And like I have previously mentioned, the calendar that Pope Gregory authorized by a group of very intelligent men, by the way, they produced an accurate solar calendar that is accurate within one day every 200 years. Are we pitching horseshoe here? You say, well, buddy, it's so complicated. Who would know? There is a sign in the heaven that knows what time it is. Matter of fact, there's 3 signs in the heavens, and the Bible in Matthew told us to watch for these signs. Now, isn't it ironic that everybody takes it that we were to go out and see if there's airplanes up in the sky or some spacecraft that's in the sky, and these are the things that we should watch for? That's not what he was talking about. He said there shall be signs in the moon. Now, what are the signs in the moon? These are the 8 cycles of different aspects from the beginning of the new moon until the closing of the old one. There's 8 cycles, and these 8 match the 8 days in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 to correlate a time set. Now, have you ever studied the 8th day? Did you know that the scriptures relate, and I covered that briefly, in the first series tape, The True Sabbath, that the 8th day is mentioned quite frequently in the Bible? Circumcision was to be on the 8th day. Well, now everybody takes that to be on a Sunday. That the 7th day would have been on a Saturday, and so circumcision could have only been performed on a Monday. Well, that ain't the way they do it, by the way. And that ain't the way the Bible says that they did it, by the way. And so then there's something wrong with man's calendar as it relates back to what we determine to be accurate in man's eyes, because that's the calendar that both religions of Christianity and Judaism uses. They use a variation of the same calendar with certain aspects being changed. And we wonder why. We wonder why. Luke chapter 1, listen to me now, to show you a precedent set with the eighth day. And Elizabeth, this is verse 57, Elizabeth, her time had come that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard that Yahweh had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Now, what day would that have been? Well, everybody again says that that would have been on the first day of the week. If you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then you have to start a cycle over again. That would have been the eighth day. But that ain't how they counted time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, but the Bible don't support that. By the way, there is hidden within the text, if you study, the Bible said, study to show yourself approved. I have spent literally thousands of hours in the Bible. I have spent many days fasting, would not eat any pleasant food, and drinking only water for days on end, trying to develop a spiritual nature that would receive the truth of the Bible. Well, notice this scripture in chapter 7, John, and we'll see what the eighth day was, if it was a rule to circumcise on the eighth day, and it was, ladies and gentlemen. You need to search out the eighth day. Maybe I'll do a complete show one of these days just on the eighth day aspects and show you how ridiculous it is for us to follow a man-made calendar. Almighty God, Yahweh, the Eternal Father, has purposed an unchanging timepiece in the heavens, perfect to his own degree. The Son is the most awesome. Matter of fact, we set our clocks by the Sun. It is a solar timepiece that is almost without being prejudiced to our Holy Father. This is perfection in the extreme. This is so accurate that our atomic clocks have to be reset periodically to keep a perfect time as doeth the sun. Now, the sun is to measure the year. The sun is also to measure time as it extends into the 24-hour cycle. One revolution of the sun as it goes, or the earth around the sun, and we're talking about 365 and a quarter. This is an odd figure, but that was designed purposely by Yahweh to take man out of designing a system of man-made appropriations to keep time. Time is in the hands of our Creator. Whether we accept it or not, our timepieces are not correct to Yahweh's time counter. We're going to prove that. Notice in John chapter 7, I'm going to read verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why do you go about to kill me? But what was the law? What did the law say? What is the Ten Commandments that's framed within the structure of not only the law, but in what we call the Second Covenant, the Melchizedek Covenant, or the Grace Plan Covenant, as most churches would like to give us? The Fourth Commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What's changed about that? Nothing. Except we are confused between Saturday or Sunday. Most of the Christians argue whether it's Saturday or Sunday. And that's all we've got a basis to argue on. But there is a third option here that most people never see. And this third option is the true option, I do believe. And I can prove beyond a shadow of doubt that the third option is your lunar calendar based upon the days of the month. Remember, a new moon starts a new month. Yahweh expressed this. The word month itself means moon. Now, if they had put it in all the times it said, and in the second month, or it says in the second moon, the Moed, if they would have left in the correct word, moon, we would have more people thinking moon calendar rather than a solar calendar with an imperfect revolution, because it's imperfect unless you add days or take from. That is an absolute order to keep time. Only Yahweh can keep correct time with the sun and the moon and the stars, his three witnesses of Genesis 1:14, the three signs in the heavens, the great luminaries, the two, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, one to pronounce the year, the other to direct us in the days. You can go outside at night by nature, or you can do it also during the daytime, because the moon is visible sometimes in the daytime. And for certain signs and aspects, if you follow the lunar aspect of timekeeping, you'll understand why. I don't have time to go into that, why it shows itself periodically here and there. But on the elliptic path, it is a perfect, without fail, timepiece for Yahweh. Now, man can date the solar calendar into perfection, 364 and a quarter days, with one day being what they determine to be a sign day. You see, they get close in the solar, but it don't get perfect. Only Yahweh has the perfected time-keeping device, and that is the synchronization of the sun and the moon on a combination. You have to have them both. The stars are to witness as we go from monthly cycle into the constellation cycles as we move through the constellations. There'll be 12 of those to match the 12 months in the year, and Yahweh sets the time in each of those with the heroine of the new moon. But notice again here on verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. Remember, we're talking about Moses commanded, as did Abraham commanded, as did Yahweh commanded, that the son, the elder son, or the son that came forth, each son, was to be circumcised on the eighth day. Now, what day would that be? According to the calendar that we have, there is no eighth day in our calendar system. Now, if you can solve this riddle of the eighth day, you have solved the whole complete mind of our Heavenly Father, who hid the truth from so-called. I'm going to repeat that. If the gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a very frightening scripture to spring on you at this point. But remember this, for you serious students of the Bible, especially you serious Sabbath keepers, if you're keeping Saturday, you have a... international dateline. Now, this dateline runs through the earth in an imaginary form, and it's used as a focus point for those who set time. That would be our government, our countries, and everything that, when it says international, that means that all nations accept this as the unit of measure. And like I say, this is a man-made formula, because Yahweh has the sun and the moon in its ecliptical orbits, and it's the same time on the earth, although it is 6 o'clock, let's say, in Jerusalem, and it would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon in San Francisco. And that would probably involve a complete cycle from the Middle East over to the west, as the sun rises in the east and goes down in the west. Maybe a 12-hour difference. However, it is actually that time. In other words, the sun would come up in Jerusalem, let's say 6 o'clock in the morning, and then 12 hours later, it would come up in San Francisco. But it's the same time, because we go through what is called the ecliptic pattern that has its rotation patterns perfect, designed, and that's how our space craft operate. That's how reentry techniques are formed and fashioned. That's how that when NASA determined the day missing in their timepiece, as they tried to program their computers, they had to go back into the Bible and the book of Joshua to the day that stood still. They programmed, they allotted for that day, and they came up accurately for the reentry window for their vehicles to be reentering Earth's atmosphere. Isn't it amazing? The mind of Yahweh, how he set things and purpose. Now, to prove to you that the eighth day was on the Sabbath, and this is the only calendar that will give you the eighth day Sabbath is the lunar. Now, I'll repeat that. The only calendar that I have seen so far, the only formulation, is the lunar calendar. This is the calendar that was followed by the Hebrews. This is the calendar that was, I believe, instituted and brought forth by Yahweh himself, being the chief cornerstone and the master builder. Man has come along, as it is noted in Daniel 7:25, changed times and laws, and for this purpose many are deceived, or vainly worshiping, keeping tradition and the commandments of men rather than the actual timepiece that Yahweh designed. You say, well, Pastor, but it's all just, it doesn't matter. I just worship God 7 days a week. Glory to God. I love him every day. Love has nothing to do with your Creator. But the formula was for us to work 6 days. You can't worship 7 days a week. I don't know of anybody that does it. I know people that love him 7 days a week. I know people that would like to. But the Bible said a man must earn his bread by actually the sweat of his brow. So then we're commanded, and the Bible said he that won't work, shall not eat. He that deals with a slack hand will come to poverty. So we've got to maintain the tradition of our father, work 6 days and keep a Sabbath. Well, you say, well, that's a 7 day count. But you forget that you don't work the first day of the month. The first day of the month was a month of reckoning, a day to mark. It was what we call a mark day. M-A-R-K. Receive his mark. The Sabbath is a mark. just as the name, these are marks of integrity of spiritual desires. The Bible said, be sure that the light in you be not darkness. Did you know people that profess light and walking in darkness? Did you know that people who are appointed to come and worship the Father on the seventh day say, well, the Saturday is the seventh day. Well, how do you know? Well, the calendar says so. I have so many arguments, or people that want to argue, that it's a moot point when you get into the Bible. There is no calendar in the Bible outside of God's calendar. God's calendar is a bona fide, genuine, fine calendar of the sun, the moon, and the stars. It always has been, and it always will be, with no exceptions. Now, those that think to change times and laws are those that designed a man-made calendar, hung it on our walls, and across the earth. This is Sunday night in East Tennessee, and we're at 10:20. I'm live and direct on WWCR 3.210, and this is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening in tonight to the Shepherd's Call, and we're talking about the subject of the Sabbath. This is the third in the series. We'll do one more on the Sabbath. That will be next Sunday night. We come on at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we're on until 11 p.m. on the East Coast. It would be 10 Central, and we would come into the West Coast. If we started at 10 here, we would come in at 7 on the West Coast, show you the time changes. But the accurate calendar system that was designed by Yahweh himself is the sun and the moon. It sets time universally across all the earth. And it's the only perfect time-keeping system that is devised by a mind, a creator, that has no equal. That's true that Babylon, that's why Babylon is called Babylon. It's Babel, it's confusion. But it works well because it's the path of the least resistance. Now, again, I'm going to give you the verse of Scripture here concerning the eighth day to show you that the eighth day was the Sabbath day. Verse 22, Moses gave you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. Remember, I told you that it was given to Abraham. And you, on the Sabbath day, circumcise a man. Isn't that strange? Remember, he said to circumcise on the eighth day, proving that the eighth day of the month was the Sabbath. The only formulation system that will give you that benefit is the lunar calendar. Now, let me show you how that goes. If you would be so kind to turn over to the 46th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. Now, let me start at the bottom of the verse and give you the account in the first verse of what Ezekiel received by the Father in the 46th verse. This is the key. This is the formula right here. And I'll show you how that they kept the Sabbath on the eighth day, and it was a day of circumcision. And just like they were doing in John chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said to prove all things. And we're proving it time after time after time that man has changed times, corrupted time, taken us out of the appointments of the true times, and given us a time of man. That time of man will come in direct conflict with God Almighty. Would you want to be standing, fighting and opposing God? If you had a major appointment with a heart surgeon, would you want to stand the surgeon up in the operating room? I doubt that. You'd probably never get another chance. If you was needing a heart bypass, and the appointment was set for the specific day, I'm sure you'd be there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbath day is an important day with God Almighty, and He commands us to be there. We need our heart surgically changed. He said, I will take away the stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart of consciousness. Remember, you must love Yahweh and keep His commandments. For if you say that you love Yahweh and you will not keep His commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. You see, the Word proves every day. It stands on its own foundation. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. And if you'll rightly divide it and search it, you'll find the key to your salvation. You'll find the key to the day to enter in, to have your heart operated on by the Holy Spirit. Thus saith Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened. Now remember, that's the formula, work 6 days and keep the Sabbath. But see, He didn't stop there. That's the formula that everybody gives us on a Jewish or Gregorian calendar, 7 days. And that's not the proper way to count time. Now, let me continue. And on the new moon it shall be opened. See, it is the cart before the horse scenario here. We know by nature that if we were to begin a count, we wouldn't begin a count on 6 working days and keep a Sabbath and then keep a new moon. That ain't the way it goes. Well, man would have you to believe that the calendar, which denies the new moon beginning the month, very seldom do they ever accurately, it happens every once in a while, just by chance, but it's rare, that the new moon falls on the first day of any month. Look in your 12 months cycle here in the year 2003 and see if the new moon starts out on day one of any of those months. In Yahweh's time count, He said to open the gate on the new moon. Of course, that starts the month. That's the first day. You got to keep a new moon before you can work 6 days to keep a Sabbath. There's your formula. There's 8 days right there. That's why the 8th day, that's why He talked about circumcising on the 8th day. A new moon would mark the month as the first day. Then you'd work 6 days, and then you'd keep a Sabbath, which would be on the 8th day of the month. You see that? It's so simple, ladies and gentlemen, that I marvel at why man cannot see this divine covenant plan, and they seek, oh, they'll travel hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. They'll compass land and sea to keep a Saturday or to keep a Sunday, but they will never. Never. Oh, that's old-fashioned. We don't do that. That's drag. Well, that's what happened in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5. Isn't it amazing that nothing has changed, ever remains the same? There's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. The book of Amos determined that they would, and they are, that they would scoff, and they do, at the true times of Yahweh, that they don't want the correct times. They are transgressors of His covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm appalled at the ignorance. And the Bible said, my people, Yahweh speaking to His flock, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and 6. But if you go to Amos chapter 8, verse 5, you see these murmurers and complainers complaining about Yahweh's time system. You see, Yahweh's times has always been a drag to man. Man cannot understand the faith that it takes to keep the Sabbaths and the festivals. I will come up with every kind of legalistical excuse for breaking very few people come up with an excuse to keep. You know, if we would use as many excuses to keep Yahweh's laws and commandments as we do to break them, wouldn't it be much better? Shouldn't we change our fleshy nature, which is enmity against Yahweh? Shouldn't we crucify that? That's why the fasting and praying, or dedication, you know, it's no use you fasting and praying over a matter you can conquer yourself. But if your flesh doesn't want to keep the proper times, then you have to fast until it becomes willing to do so and let Yahweh change your life accordingly. Now, he may just tear up your home. You say, oh, well, God wouldn't tear my home up. Well, he says, if you love me better than you love your wife, then the excuse you got, oh, I can't go because I've got a wife, or I can't do this because I've got a wife. How about your job? You say, well, I can keep that lunar calendar, buddy, because our calendars are geared to the world, and the world is geared to the world's calendar, and if I don't show up on a new moon or a Sabbath on the eighth day, which is not in line with the Gregorian calendar or the Jewish calendar, then I got a problem. Yes, you have. You've got a major royal problem. But the Bible said, choose this day who you'll serve. Are you willing to commit that which you've committed to him and keep it? That's a test. You see, we're just down here being tested. Wasn't that the whole thing in the beginning? A test? Are you passing the test today? You know, we cram for college to doctorate degree. Had a brother that worked his way through school, paid his way, just a poor boy like myself. We were raised poor. 10 of us in a family here in the hills of East Tennessee, just dirt farmers. He worked his way through college and became a physician, a practicing physician. He still is. While he was doing that, I was in the caves of the hills of East Tennessee. I quit school, and I went to fasting and praying and read my Bible. Everybody thought I was going crazy. Isn't it strange that how we relate wisdom and foolishness? If we seek Yahweh and quit school, quit the man-made education — I'm not encouraging anybody to do it. I should have went on to college. Wish I had. At least I could have been in command of the King's language. I could have spelled words properly. I can't hardly read and write. But I do know the Bible. I do, because I studied, I prayed, and I fasted, and I crammed while my brother was at the University of Kentucky cramming for to become a doctor. And the world thinks that's wise, and it is, in a sense, with the world's wisdom. They do a lot of good things for the flesh man. But what if you gain the whole world? What if the flesh man has every creature comfort, and he's healthy and never sees a sick day on earth, and loses his soul? What are you going to give in exchange? These things that I'm teaching you are going to be of paramount importance in the day that you stand before him to be judged according to the deeds done in your body. And you cannot recall one day. If you don't do it now, you won't do it then. If you don't do it while you've got time, time can run out on you. Don't be like the fool that said, I'll build my barns bigger, and that night his soul was required. Do not seek vain things. It's nice to be doctors. It's nice to have a college education or a PhD, whatever that would give you advantage. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't study the 66 books, 1,189 chapters, if you don't prove all things, if you don't get into your knee route way, then it profits you nothing. If you lose your soul, you say, well, I'm saved, I profess Christ, I go to the first this and first that. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes more to prove all things. Are you keeping the appointed day? That's my message tonight. And I close it out with Amos chapter 8, verse 5. They, the murmurs, the complainers, the doctors, the lawyers, the merchants, and the thieves, and all of Israel said, when will the new moon be gone? Well, we don't have to worry about that no more, because the calendar's not geared to the new moon. Isn't it nice, convenient that we don't have to look at that thing? Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to wait on the new moon? to end so that we can go back to work. Isn't it very convenient that Babylon has basically stripped away Yahweh's truth and replaced it with a form and a fashion or a dark code of unethical ethics? When will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? When will the new moon be gone that we can buy and sell? They couldn't buy and sell on the new moon. It was an established fact. It was a holy day. That's day one of the month. That's day one. Now, after day one is over, now you can buy and sell. You can go to work. You work 6 days. Well, what day would that bring you to the first Sabbath of the month? It'd be on the eighth day. That's the day they circumcised. That's the day God commanded Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the offspring from that time forth to be circumcised on the eighth day. And Christ alluded in 7:22-23 that it was on the eighth day. You say it doesn't mean anything. We don't have to do that no more. See, that's the problem. If we don't have any faith or any conscience to fear God and keep His commandments, then we will go blindly stumbling along with the blind, the path of least resistance. Ladies and gentlemen, I have taken the path with the most resistance. I'm hated for His namesake. I'm despised for His time calendar. While the world is working, I'm keeping the Sabbath. While I'm keeping the Sabbath, they're working. See, darkness and light has no fellowship. You've got to make up your mind to be determined enough to keep the faith and not deny His word. That's my message tonight to you. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. You're listening to Pastor Bud and the Shepherd's Call. I'd like to give you a mailing address quickly. Pastor Buddy, if you're listening to me tonight, I'm live on WWCR 3.210, and you can call me here tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, tuck in a little offering for our radio expense. We need your help. Write Pastor Buddy, if that's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, that's 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll give it to you quickly again. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, two words, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. That's all the address you need, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll send you information on the true Sabbath. Now, if you would like to help me tonight on the radio show, I ask you to call this number. It's toll-free. 1-877-289-7439. Pledge your support. It's a toll-free call. It won't cost you anything. You will be given information on how you can help us. Your name will be received, and you will be asked to help us on the radio broadcast. Do that for us tonight. We really need your help. The second number that you could call is 1-888-281-7320. Tell them you heard Pastor Buddy on the Shepherd's Call radio broadcast teaching the Word of Yahweh. And if you'd be so kind to help us tonight, we would appreciate it very deeply. That's 1-877-289-7439 or 1-888-281-7320. Give us some help on our radio program. We can't stay here without you. And if our voice leaves, would you hear any truth at all? The Bible says in the last days that men will faint for the truth. A famine in the world, not for bread and water, but for hearing the word of Yahweh. Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 3.210 with the Shepherd's Call. You join us again next Sunday night at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific Time for the Shepherd's Call. We'll see you then. Yahweh bless you until then. And remember, the times of your life are passing. Keep Yahweh's appointments.